Is Gascoigne going to have a crack? He is, you know. Oh, I say! Brilliant!
Bale going alone! But scoring for Tottenham!
And still Ricky Villa! What a fantastic run! He scored! And he's away, Aaron Lennon! Crouch! Yes!
Welcome back to another edition of the Internet's Most Dangerous Spurs podcast. As always, I am Skipjack, otherwise there is Greg, and I am joined by my stable co-host, Ben, otherwise known as Len's Eyebrow. Ben, say hello to the people.
Hey, everybody. Glad to be part of the stable.
There you go. Pro wrestling reference already, Ben. I'm proud of you. And joining us for the first time on this new all-dangerous edition of Wheeler Dealer Radio, we have the boss. We have Kevin McCauley. Kevin, say hello.
Hey, what's up, everyone? I don't know why it's been so long since I've done a podcast, because I've done, like, thousands of hours of them in my life. But I guess no time better than the present to get back into the groove.
Look out, everybody. We got a ringer.
Well, it's you've been doing that highly comprehensive Nazzle preview for SB Nation, right? Isn't that what's been eating your time up?
The what?
The Nazzle preview, or the, I don't know, what do you, NASL? It's a hilarious show, guys. Just roll with it. Okay.
I've watched precisely zero NASL games in my life.
Well, we got to get you to a Kickers game sometime. No, we don't. We really should.
That's USL Pro. It's not even the same league.
Oh, God. So is what I know. All right, well, let's move on to things I do have a vague knowledge of with Spurs. So we beat Stoke. I was going to say Sunderland, and I had to stop myself there. We beat Stoke this weekend in a game that was, I think, a lot worse than we've seen in a while. We sort of the players were able to sort it out in the last couple of weeks. This is a pretty dull, turgid, awful affair. Kevin, what do you think?
Very typical of a Stoke game, and I know they've kind of broken out of that stereotype because Mark Hughes trying to play beautiful football, blah blah blah. But like, it's still all the same players that Tony Pulis brought in. It's still, you know, Jeff Cameron and Glenn Whelan and Nzonzi and Crouch starting. So they looked very Stokey, and we didn't really know what to do about it. But you know, we got that one goal, and then dude got sent off, and Ryan Shawcross, who's not that kind of player, by the way. absolutely not that kind of player. And then, strangely, Stoke looked way better with 10 men than they ever did with 11. And we were kind of lucky to hang on.
Yeah, that was, to me, the most frustrating part. I know it came after the interval, so it's not like Sherwood prepared them to come out to that. But you'd like to think this team, even without Sherwood's instructions, would be able to take advantage of 10-man Stoke. But apparently not. Maybe it's because they are the same old Stoke. I would like to point out that despite Mark Hughes' beautiful football, not only did Charlie Adam try to injure a Spurs player, but he managed to do it despite not playing a minute of this game. He did it from the sidelines, which is, I guess, impressive in its own way. It's a certain dedication to the to his life's work, as it were. Is Charlie Adam the worst? Is he the worst, Ben? Is there anyone worse than Charlie Adam?
Besides Tim Sherwood?
Oh. Is Tim Sherwood even as bad as Charlie Adam?
I mean, no, at least Tim Sherwood and Charlie Adam aren't racist. Like, they could be racist.
Well, at least Tim Sherwood hasn't actively tried to, like, physically damage a Spurs player, despite rumors to the contrary.
The rumors, yeah. As far as we know, he punched Jan Vertonghen in the face, and that's why we have yet to see him. Yeah, Charlie Adams basically the worst. I don't know that anything else needs to be said about that. I think that's sort of a universal truth that the world has already accepted and agreed upon.
Well, let's examine something real quick. Two of the worst players associated with Spurs in recent years are Charlie Adam and Alan Hutton. Obviously, two different sides of the pitch. Both come from Rangers. I think we need to stay away from Scottish players from now on, guys.
Well,
that sounds racist, and now we have our new candidate for the worst person. Racist Skipjack.
That sounded very racist, actually.
But Ben, what did you think of this game besides Charlie Adams' typical contributions to a Spurs match?
It was dull and horrible, and I wanted to claw my eyes out. I was really disappointed when Shawcross got sent off. The fact that we should have smelled blood in the water and, you know, put a really convincing score lineup that made the team look better than they actually were. Instead, everybody sort of went to sleep and looked like they thought the game was already won, or realized there's really nothing left to play for this season. I don't know what happened, but it was really uninspiring. And for all of Sherwood's faults, the team has looked like they gave a shit in recent weeks. But they displayed a worrying lack of character.
So I'm going to like super derail this already because I don't really want to talk about this game anymore because it was boring. So it's great that we've got Harry Kane playing and, you know, contributing, scoring goals and such. But I'd like to know why we're not playing a bunch of these other guys that could benefit from the minutes or just like trying to, you know, put in decent games like Soldado and Townsend and Benteleb and Friars.
What does Tim care about the long-term prospects of Spurs at this point? He knows he's not going to be here.
I guess.
Right. And honestly, that's why people have said, like, you know, why bother sacking Sherwood now? You know, he's going to go at the end of the season. What's the point? Well, that's the point. You know, we've had plenty of games now where we should be thinking about the future, and instead, you know, we're not. We're squandering this opportunity. You know, we should be treating the rest of the season like it's a Europa League group stage and seeing what we've got in our locker and what young players can make a contribution or what underperforming players or marginalized players can come into the team and make an impact. And Tim Sherwood is only trying to pad out his resume to make sure he can land safely at another job somewhere.
Which is working, by the way, because he keeps winning games and he's, you know, even though he's a loudmouth and we wish he would shut his mouth because he's being an asshole, you know, he's winning games, and he's probably going to land a decent championship job out of this.
Well, he's been winning games, and he's got a reputation as, and if you're being unkind and above average, if you're being kind, a very good youth director. And, you know, I think, you know, he probably warranted a low-level championship job before this happened, and, you know, I'd be nervous about it. But, you know, he probably earned a head coaching job somewhere. It's not,
yeah, but now he's going to get a chance at you know, maybe one of the teams that gets relegated from the Premier League. You know, maybe he'll get like the Norwich job or one of the other decent, you know, championship fringe playoff teams, as opposed to some piece of crap like Millwall kind of job.
He'll get. We need to think about this in the right way. What is the team that's going to get relegated that makes poor decisions? I think Sunderland fits this bill.
Well, I think Sunderland might do it because Poye might say like, "Give me full control or I'm out," and they're like, "Nah, you can piss off." They're not going to be smart enough to just let Poye run the show like they should. So that's definitely a great candidate for Tim Sherwood's future employer.
So,
you know, there is...
Go ahead, Ben.
One positive to Tim Sherwood keeping winning and hopefully landing at an okay job next year is wherever he lands, he could be our new Swindon, because I think he'd be happy to take a lot of Spurs young players and give them a shot with whatever team he ends up at. So that could be nice.
No, that could be the silver lining to this giant, massive pile of shit. Before we get completely away from the Stoke game, there is one thing I want to talk about that happened, and that's Danny Rose's heel turn. Danny Rose pissed off that Stoke crowd. I'm having trouble remembering the last time I've seen an opposing player work a home crowd side up that much. And I know he wasn't goading them or anything, but that crowd was hot for like probably since the sending off through the rest of the game. I think the smartest thing I've ever seen Tim Sherwood do as our manager was yank Danny Rose when he did. Because Rose was, I mean, and it wasn't just that he was playing badly. He wasn't playing great. I mean, he got our goal. He was doing what he did, but Rose was starting to get really like salty.
He was about to get sent off or slapping somebody in the face.
And you know what? We give Tim Sherwood a lot of credit, but yanking him when he did and grabbing two stewards and telling him to get in the dressing room was very smart. And I'm glad he did it because that could have got – oh, maybe I'm not glad he did it because if it got really ugly, that might have been entertaining. But, you know, for Danny Rose's sake, I'm glad he did it because that crowd was angry. And I'm kind of wondering if maybe that's part of the reason we didn't really take advantage of the 10 men, that they were intimidated by the atmosphere because – that crowd was catcalling and yelling and really.
Well, I think the crowd was probably angry at life because they live in Stoke.
Well, it was an excuse. I mean, there's probably no EDL meeting that day. I'm joking.
Wow.
I'm joking, but I have heard NPR pieces about big EDL. Isn't that where the only EDL MP's from?
Yeah, they're probably gonna sign Will Hughes. You know, he's fit in real well. For those of the, for just, I feel like I should explain that, that joke now that I've made it. Will Hughes follows the English Defense League on Twitter, by the way.
Oh, God.
We discovered this a few months ago, which I was just amazed by. And I feel like looking at Will Hughes, just like making a horrible judgment of him based on, you know, aesthetics, I don't feel like he's doing it ironically.
He's not like running like an LOL EDL account?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. But, I mean, I think you're right. I think Stoke fans were just angry in general, which is funny because this has probably been the best-looking season they've had in ages. But, yeah, God, that, I was shocked at how angry that crowd got. I mean, do you guys think that affected the game at all?
I mean, probably.
I was nervous at home, you know, thousands of miles away.
Thought some Stoke fans were going to, like, hit you in the face with a bunch of rolled-up newspapers.
Yeah, I mean, possibly.
Stoke fans have threatened us and me in particular before.
That's right. That, was that from the Harry's Carling Cup game?
Yeah, I don't even remember what I wrote or what I said. But I've said – because I don't remember because they've said all kinds of awful shit about Stoke because they deserve it. But I mean, Stoke fans have sent me quite a bit of abuse on Twitter and on our site. It's always a good time.
Just real quick, teams that, whose fans you've super hacked off, Stoke, Hearts of whatever.
Midlothian.
Hearts. Yeah.
Stevenage.
Others? Stevenage.
Because
there's no so, Stevenage fans.
So we played Stevenage. People don't remember this. We played Stevenage in, I think, I don't remember if it was the FA Cup or the League Cup. I think it was
FA
the League Cup.
It was the FA Cup.
Okay. Anyway, their manager was this dude, Gary Smith, who was the former manager of the Colorado Rapids and MLS, and he played the most boring, awful. It was like worse than Tony Pulis. So we just wrote about, it was Ryan and I wrote this thing about, like, we don't know anything about your club, anything about your players, like, but your manager is Satan. Like, he's the worst thing to ever happen to the sport. And they, like, fucking ripped into us. You don't know anything about our team. You're a bunch of assholes. Well, Gary Smith took them from right around the playoff places down into the bottom half of the table and got fired. So, Stevenage fans, we told you.
For all you Stevenage fans listening out there.
So there's one. There's always one.
So far on the podcast, we've said we told you so to Stevenage fans and accused Stoke fans of all being members of the EDL. So I like how this is going so far.
Yeah, maybe I should come on more often.
I can't wait to see what we're going to say during the World Cup this year. I'm sure that'll go nice and smooth.
Yeah, super xenophobic. That's what we do.
We are Americans, after all. We know best. So, moving out of that game, I don't think there's much else to talk about. Adebayor made a nice cross to Rose for the goal, who actually had a pretty nice header from pretty deep in the box to score that. Those were about the only nice things I can say about our play.
I developed a totally irrational dislike of Emmanuel Adebayor, and I'm trying to figure out why. Because I can't tell you why, but I've just, like, decided that I don't like him.
Maybe you're getting, like, Spurs tweets, like, shuttled into your head while you're asleep at night complaining about his work rate.
Have you not liked him since his Arsenal days, or did you come around and then come back around?
No, when we signed him, I was like, okay, whatever. Like, I guess this is a good signing. And obviously he was great for us for a while, and then he kind of sucked last year. And you know, then he had his stretch under Sherwood, which is great. Now he's been just kind of okay for the last few games. And I think it's just because of our, like, the way he plays and our misuse of him. Like, this guy wants to drop deep and, you know, pick up the ball and distribute. And, but he's like, he doesn't have a very good first touch and he's not a great passer. But he wants to play that way, so we insist on using him that way. And it's really stupid. And I hate it because he should just be like Drogba light. And he's not.
Yes, I think his strengths would fall under he is tall. He can out-tall opponents.
He can run pretty fast for his size. Mm-hmm. He can jump. He's a good header. He's a decent finisher with both feet. Like, he should be Drogba light, except he wants to be fucking Riquelme, even though he can't pass.
That is an admirable goal, though. We should all want to be Riquelme.
I mean, yes, everyone should want to be Riquelme, but I can't be Riquelme, so I play left back.
So you're the Danny Rose of cartilage free captains.
I really wish I could run as fast as Danny Rose.
I don't think there's much else about this game. I was kind of disappointed at how anonymous Eriksen and Kane, to a lesser extent, were, considering how good they've looked for about, 6 weeks now. I was a little aggravated at how anonymous they were. I'm going to chalk this up to, this is just what happens when you don't have a manager. And Stoke are pretty solid at home. I mean,
so weird development, though. Nasser Chadli is starting to look actually kind of decent in the center of midfield.
Oh, I thought he was so bad. His passing was horrifying. He couldn't find a Spurs player if his life depended on it. I was just about to ask if this was the game that Sherwood finally realized that wasn't a workable midfield.
I mean, I'm not saying that I want him to keep doing it because he's a better left winger than he is a midfielder, but I'm thinking he's starting to look like not the worst.
At least positionally, he seems to know where he should be standing, which is a marked improvement.
It's better than Paulinho.
Everything's better than Paulinho at this point. We all remember how great he looked at the end of that Benfica game.
Yeah, no, he's had like three or four games for Spurs where he's been awesome, and every single time he plays for Brazil, he's excellent. I remember watching him in Copa Libertadores and Club World Cup for Corinthians. Like, there's a lot of times where we'll make some signing, it's too much money or just wrong position. It's like really easy to criticize. You can look back and say like it's obvious that this didn't make any sense. Paulinho made a lot of sense. And I don't think that we paid too much for him based on what he'd done up until, you know, we signed him. He should be a lot better than he is, and I don't get it.
I just don't think we've ever figured out how to use him. I mean, he belongs in the middle of a three-man midfield with someone defensively sound behind him and an Oscar type ahead of him
Brazil and Corinthians, he's played in a two-man midfield as long as the guy next to him is a true holder.
Right, but I mean, in Brazil, he also has Oscar in front of him, who carries a lot of the creative work, and he also works
and Oscar's a very good defensive player from the front, too.
Right, and it gives Paulinho that ability to sort of ghost into spaces and arrive late in the box, and he doesn't seem to do that at all at Spurs.
Yeah, theoretically, like, Sandro and Paulinho with Eriksen in front of them should work very well.
I don't think we've seen that this entire season, though.
Why play Eriksen?
I wonder if we're going to go back to the line on the left of this podcast. Like, I wonder, have we done that once?
No, I don't think so.
Where's Michael Caley when you need him?
I can go look.
I'm going to Google it real quick.
Oh, my God. This is thrilling listening, you guys.
No, let's move on. I'm going to go look after the show. We don't even talk while I'm
fucking
searching.
Let's move on. This is all terrible. I'm glad it's all going to change. I think Sherwood's just nailing more nails in his coffin at this point. Although he's been in a difficult situation, I don't think anyone in his position was really going to succeed. But we are where we are. Honestly, we're in a better situation than I thought we might be when he got hired. But we are looking for a new coach. And today, actually, the drumbeat around that got a lot louder. Earlier in the week, we've been linked with Pochettino, that he's on our radar, that he's one of our top choices. But today, it turns out that for the better part of a month, we've been talking to Ajax, or at least since a month ago, we've been talking to Ajax, and we're very interested in Frank de Boer. De Boer today fluttered his eyelashes at us, said some very nice thing about Spurs, sort of quashed any rumors of him going to Monaco, and said he'd love to talk to us once the season's over. This sounds a lot to me like he's angling for this job. Ben, what do you think?
I don't know if he's my first choice, but I think I would be very happy with Frank de Boer.
What if we shave his head so he looks like Rafa Benitez? Give him a goatee.
Can he grow the goatee?
Well, he'll also serve you tapas, so, you know.
And does he know a lot of facts?
Fucks, yes. But would you – I mean, do you think this is – do you think he's setting himself up for the Barcelona job like some people have suggested, or do you think the interest is genuine here?
I don't know. I mean, I think the Barcelona job and Frank de Boer make a lot of sense. You know, he's got that Barcelona DNA that they love. And he's the kind of hire that they seem like likely to make. But if they don't go for him, I think he would be happy to come to Spurs.
He feels like a bit of a reach to me for Barcelona, but then again, they hired old boys coach out of Argentina last year. So what do I know? Kevin, do you think de Boer could go to Barcelona?
Yeah, I think he could, because I don't know who else they're going to hire that's a better fit for them.
Messi's father.
I don't know if any of the national
Neymar's father.
That's probably in that contract somewhere.
Like, I don't know if Simeone would want to leave for Barcelona, nor do I think their fans would be down with that hire, just because it's a totally different style. I think that they could hire Jurgen Klopp, but I think it's unlikely. I don't think that, I mean, I guess Pep could ask to go back after the fucking debacle today, but I don't think that's going to happen either.
That made me so happy, by the way. I love watching Pep Guardiola fail. I don't see it very often.
But like, unless they really like Klopp and Klopp really likes them, I don't know who's a better fit
Garcia?
For Barcelona than who?
Garcia?
Yeah, but he's only been at Brom for 1 year. Is he really going to bounce already?
He got fired by, who was it, Batiste? He got fired by Batiste, was it?
Yeah.
So, but he's still a Pep disciple, and with Tito
gone.
The
other thing is they could bring back Enrique, who's had a good season with Celta.
Yeah. Oh, no, that's who I'm thinking of, yeah.
Yeah, you said Garcia, and I was like, I don't think so.
No, sorry.
Enrique is here.
Yeah.
No, Enrique is having a good season with Celta, and I think that's also very possible. But as far as De Boer to Spurs is concerned, I mean, I think I've been clear on this, that I'm not picky. There are like 10 guys that we could hire that I'd be totally okay with, and De Boer is one of them. I do worry that I know people make the AVB comparisons because, you know, young guy winning stuff at a smaller league, you know, can they translate, especially when, you know, he's also playing that very possession-based, you know, stylish, blah, blah, blah. And I think that those concerns are kind of valid and that he might be a little bit of an ideologue. I'm not sure if he has a plan B. I'm not sure if he's going to adapt when things aren't going his way. That's my biggest concern with De Boer, is that he's really not going to be able to adapt when playing his preferred style is not the best for the situation.
I guess, you know, as to that, at this point, I'm happy enough to have a guy with a plan A who can implement that plan A and get that plan A working. And if he needs to learn a plan B on the job, you know, hopefully he can do that.
I mean, but, well, it's not – my concern isn't that he's incapable of learning a plan B. It's that he thinks there's one way to play, and if we can't play that way, this way and win, well, then we just needed to play better and we didn't deserve to win.
Well, so the AVB comparisons are interesting because, I mean, obviously, I think AVB's downfall, other than his inability to deal with adversity, was inflexibility. And at least from what I've read about De Boer, I haven't watched as much Ajax as I'm sure you have, Kevin, is he sort of favors that traditional Ajax 4-3-3, which is its own philosophy, but it's at least a more flexible philosophy than I need a strong guy on the wing and I need, you know, heavy pressing and, you know, we need to transition. I feel like AVB's was a much narrower box that you had to fit into than, oh, we need to play a pretty 4-4-3 possession-based game.
Well, and the biggest reason that he might fare better than AVB is even if he is an ideologue and he's not able to switch away from that one style, he's not going to have a leadership problem or a credibility problem or issues dealing with adversity. He took over Ajax when half the board had resigned and they were just like in total crisis and turned him around, won a title right away. He's a world-class player who is going to instantly command respect just based on who he is and obviously has a different perspective than AVB. I'm not saying that anybody has to be a great player to be a successful manager, but I think it doesn't hurt. Especially when you can look at him and tell that he doesn't think that he's, you know, king shit on Turd Island just because he was a great player. It's just a nice little added thing on the side, like, oh, this guy's got that credibility.
And
like,
don't have,
oh, I think I'm the man because, you know, I did this in my playing days.
And when you don't have the extensive body of work to build that credibility for you as a manager, that gives you a certain leg up that not having it, you know. It adds an extra dimension.
When you walk out there and tell them what to do when they're on the pitch, I imagine even if AVB wasn't the sort of disaster he became, you know, when Frank let's not look at AVB. Like, I imagine Frank De Boer's word probably carries a little more weight than, you know, an Arsene Wenger when it's specifically about how to play on the pitch. Just because, you know, De Boer was there and he was clearly very, very good at it. So, you know, I guess they're going to be more inclined to listen to him.
Yeah, and if your coach is telling you something that you totally disagree with, that you think is just wrong, and it's AVB, you're like, oh, this fucking guy. But if it's Frank DeBoer, you're like, okay, well, maybe this dude knows what he's talking about. I'm going to give this a shot.
The other thing I think DeBoer, and I've talked about this on the podcast before, that he has in his locker that AVB didn't, since we're making the direct comparison, is, well, he hasn't won anything in Europe. He's got some scalps in Europe. And even when AVB won the Europa League, he didn't beat many good teams on the way to that trophy, or at least what we would consider good teams.
He also had Moutinho and Hulk and Falcao.
Yep. I mean, well,
but Ajax doesn't have anybody anywhere close to that level.
He did have Eriksen, Vertonghen, Alderweireld, but yeah, those aren't. He didn't have Falcao at his peak. Like,
he beat Barcelona this season with, you know, his standard blah squad.
Well, not just standard. Probably the worst squad he's had since he got to Ajax.
Oh yeah, by far.
And he also took He beat what was a pretty decent City side, even though it was managed by Mancini, but, you know.
And they really should have won that last Milan game where they couldn't score. Like, that was the unluckiest thing in the world. They should have scored 5 goals in that game.
They acquitted themselves well against Dortmund. I mean, you know.
So do you recall in those games against Barcelona, did De Boer employ a different setup, or was he just like, fuck it, run and gun, Ajax style? Let's see what happens.
I've got to go back and watch that game. I don't recall. I mean, I know he played. I think both. I'm looking at the lineups of these games, and they don't look out of the ordinary. I definitely have to go back and watch that, and I will if we actually hire him. The one I remember specifically is the Milan game where they just totally dominated, but it ended 0-0, and just the ball would not go in the back of the net, even though they should have had 4 or 5.
That's encouraging to me, because even though Milan is the sort of dumpster pile that it's become this year, you know, that's still
they still
have
beat the
players.
Shit out of Milan away.
Yeah, they still have better players than Ajax has. I mean, or they should. You know, it's, I don't know. De Boer is like, I've kind of been talking myself into him after I was kind of blah at first. He feels like AVB without any of AVB's problems, to be honest.
Yeah. Right. It's like all of the good things about AVB, none of the bad.
Well, hopefully none of the
bad. Yeah. He might have different bad problems, but at least we can point to the things that AVB had problems with and reassure ourselves that these aren't the same problems.
Yeah, exactly.
We're going to get from De Boer.
I mean, and another encouraging thing about De Boer is, it feels like he's leaving Ajax, whether or not he comes to us. Let's just assume he goes somewhere this season. This feels like a natural time. No other Ajax manager has won 4 championships in a row. Honestly, unless he really gets lucky in the Champions League, which Liverpool have shown they've been able to do, he probably isn't winning it anytime soon.
No.
You know, so maybe he wins the Europa League, but that's if he gets bounced out of the Champions League. I mean, there's not a whole lot left for him to do at Ajax.
No, not at all.
So it doesn't feel like AVB leaving after a single year, where it's very sudden. This feels like a natural time for him to go.
I think agreed all around.
So De Boer, yeah.
I don't want him. I don't want him.
Yeah, well, you want Tapas, so you don't count.
You know, I think we're going to hire him, and then his brother is going to come in, and the team's not going to know the difference, and he's going to coach us to relegation.
That absolutely sounds like what's going to happen. We had
De Boer.
As part of the news that was breaking out today, Greg Stobert, who covers the team Tottenham, was saying that there's some sources out of the Netherlands saying that De Boer has some reservations, the implication being that he wants to run a project and Levy's got a quick trigger finger, which is true, at least to some extent. Do we think that might hold De Boer up if he really wants to do a project? And I mean,
yeah, I think it could. I think honestly, I hate all the ENIC out people on Twitter. They're the worst. But the one point they do have is I think that there are going to be some managers that have reservations about going to Tottenham because of Levy's itchy trigger finger.
And it's weird because, I mean, I know it's a reputation he carries, but over his tenure, or at least over the past, you know, since Martin Jol, we really haven't fired that many managers compared to a team like Liverpool and certainly not to. You know, we're not as bad as I think Spurs fans would like to believe that we are.
Well, that's
whether or not.
No, it's just that our rival is Arsenal. So that's what we have to compare ourselves to.
Exactly.
We want to find our Wenger. And it's like,
I mean, that'd be great.
That doesn't happen.
Yeah. That's very rare that you have a guy who's like a one club or almost a one club guy for that long. I think it's going to come down to, and we're never going to hear this, or at least I don't think we're going to hear it. If he can say AVB was a lunatic, he got, you know, he wouldn't play LaMelo. Like, if there is an explanation he can give for why AVB got canned in the way he was, then I think we should be fine. If there's not, if it's just, oh, he embarrassed us too many times and wasn't nice to me behind the scenes, you know, then we might have a problem. But who knows? I think it's going to come down to how much AVB can, or I keep doing that, how much Levy can sell him on coming to Spurs. And honestly, we just have no idea.
I mean, so, I really don't think Levy would be adverse to a Frank DeBoer project. I mean, it seems like
that's what we were doing with AVB.
Right. Is, I mean, we brought in Ramos ostensibly because he was a guy with a vision who would do stuff for us. And then we brought in Harry Redknapp, who, you know, sort of was a stopgap who did really well, better than we expected. So we had to keep him on. And then AVB was a project. And then Tim Sherwood is here to just keep the ship steady. And it seems like the natural move is to go back to getting that project, because all of Levy's moves seem to be designed to finding the right guy to build a project around.
Well, especially because all of the Levy and Baldini moves over the past couple seasons are building the kind of team that Frank DeBoer could probably do something with. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think DeBoer's looking at Tottenham like, I gotta fucking scrap all this shit. Like, he can work with what's here. I mean, yeah, we probably got to buy one or two players, got to buy a left back, a defender, maybe a passing midfielder. But for the most part, it's, you know, it's looking pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, I just, we keep going to this well, like Ben said, and it's just, I can't imagine. We invested a lot in AVB, and AVB always talked about the project. And I just think something went horribly wrong there, because, like, we keep going back to that well. And I don't know, maybe DeBoer's the guy. Maybe we make him a promise that we won't fire him forever until he won't play Eric Lamella.
Honestly, though, like Kevin said, I mean, we have a talented as hell squad. Like, I'm convinced that if we have somebody in the dugout who knows what to do with these players and mold them into a cohesive unit, then the players we have will get the job done. You know, yeah. Barring a few left backs and et cetera.
I can't think of, honestly, a manager, if we're just looking at Eric Lamella, I can't think of a manager I'd probably rather have than DeBoer. It's just, yeah. It's that. Not even, you know, an Ancelotti. It's like, if we're talking about figuring out a young player, I mean, DeBoer's probably the man to do that.
Or Pochettino.
Let's talk about him.
Yeah, let's get into Pochettino. So, nothing really new came out this week other than just the English papers, so there's probably a source in here somewhere just saying he's high up on Spurs' list and he's not re-signing a deal with Sutton because he's gonna sign a deal. He's interested in Spurs. Kevin, what's your thoughts on Pochettino?
So, I'm not sure if he's you know, a guy like a Martinez, where if he just gets a bigger team, more talented squad, he's really going to take off. Or if he's more, you know, David Moyes, where it's like he's got the one trick and, you know, it's not going to work at a higher level. Especially when you see some of their games against, like they had the one against Aston Villa where they had like 80% possession and they lost 3-0. Shit like that, where it's like, I wonder if he knows what to do against these teams that just sit deep and counter, that just let them have the ball. Like, I feel like he's only got the one trick, and he doesn't know what to do when the one trick doesn't work.
Wait. So you're telling me that Pochettino doesn't know how to break down a team that sits behind the ball? I think that makes him perfect for Spurs. I think that sets him up well.
I guess I have the same problem with most of the guys we're linked to, is like I'm scared that they're one trick ponies.
See, I think it's, I don't know if it's Chinese or Japanese or Confucius or whatever, but there's an idiom that is
Like it's about to be racist.
This is about to be really profound.
Okay,
a porcupine only has one trick, but it's a very good trick, and I think
that changed my life.
Boom! Right, I just dropped some fucking knowledge. But I mean, you look at Rodgers, who, I mean, I guess we've seen him now. This is his second trick, the way Liverpool's playing compared to the possession style he played last year and with Swansea. But regardless, this season's Liverpool has basically had one trick, and it's been an incredibly effective trick.
I don't know. I feel like Liverpool can either play fast on the counter, or they can play like real slow, methodical.
Well, I think Pochettino's Southampton do both. I mean, you see that 80% possession against Aston Villa. They are the possession leaders in the Premier League, this team. But they also are a very high-tempo pressing, you know, quick breaks to J. Rodriguez on the edge of the last defender, scoring dumb goals. So I think he has the ability to do those things. And I also think, this may be mistaken, but their Aston Villa match, they lost 3-0. But in the middle of the season there, they went through a serious defensive crisis where Boric got hurt and Lovren got hurt. And
yeah, they were down to like their third keeper or something.
Yeah, and Højbjerg, who's maybe the worst player in the Premier League, was playing center back. You know, so, I mean, they had a rough patch for a time there, but I think that's exactly what he wouldn't have at Spurs. I mean, we have our injury problems, but we're never going to put out a lineup that's that terrible.
Yeah, like guys like Højbjerg and who's the goalkeeper, Gazzaniga or whatever his name is.
Yeah, Gazzaniga and Kelvin Davis.
I would just like to point out that not only did he lose to Tim Sherwood, he lost to Tim Sherwood in his first league match. Injury crisis or no, that is an accomplishment.
That was just like an awful CF of a match where we totally should have conceded about 6 goals.
Well, we had a more character than Southampton.
Like, do you remember we were really not good in that game?
That was a weird game.
That was a really weird game. Like, we got our asses kicked and won 3-2. It was
even
a weird game.
It was the first game this team freelanced all year, and it was just weird to see them, like, as bad as we were doing certain things, we just were trying stuff in the final third. It was like, oh, what's this? I haven't seen this in about a year and a half.
Yeah, there was like a weird, like, depressing sequence where you have the West Ham game and that game and Man United where you're like, shit, this Tim Sherwood guy, like, he's kind of crazy, but I think he might be good crazy. And then it just, no, never mind. He's the bad crazy.
I figured every game after that was going to end like 4-3, 6-7, 9-5.
I talked myself into thinking like, oh, Sherwood's just doing this to get them out of the ABB funk. Like, just to show everybody like, hey, fuck this old guy. Like, we don't need this. And then he's going to, you know, gradually kind of drill it into something that makes sense. And no, he's just always nuts.
No, he's a crazy person. But you know what? He's won more away games at Old Trafford than David Moyes ever did, which is also an accomplishment.
So who's David Moyes going to manage next year? Are we thinking Newcastle?
Newcastle.
I don't think he manages anyone. I think he takes a year off.
Newcastle or Villa?
Yeah, I think David Moyes.
You think they're going to fire Lambert?
Lambert.
No, that's when he goes to Newcastle. We call him Lambert then.
Lambert, yeah, because he went to Newcastle. I think that Randy Lerner is going to sell Villa, and I think the new owners are going to sack Lambert.
Yeah, that seems very likely.
Well, he's been a disappointment there. I just think Moyes is going to be a little bit toxic, particularly in England.
Well, yeah, no, but to a mid-table club like that, they're going to jump on the chance to do what we did with AVB, a guy who's better than they deserve but not really good enough.
I think he'd be a good hire for Villa, to be honest with you.
Yeah, he could probably – I mean, he's probably going to get Villa up to, you know, 9th or 10th if they hire him.
And he'll have that year where he gets him to 6th, and they'll think he'll be in the Champions League.
Yeah, exactly.
And then that'll end poorly when they somehow buy Emil Heskey again. or I guess who would it be with Moyes? Would it be Tim Howard? I'm not sure who they would buy.
He'll bring back like the 35-year-old Arteta.
That's actually something that would happen.
Yeah, I know, right?
Oh,
with Jermaine Beckford leading the line.
Oh.
Or Yakubu.
The yak. Feed the yak.
Anichebe.
Oh God. David Moyes. You know what? No, you know what? I'll tell you who he's going to end up.
You just say those names and you wonder, how the hell did he do that with Everton?
In some ways, when you think about it, it's like, how is he not a genius at United? Because if
like,
he was
Tim
able to
Cahill
that,
was their best striker for years.
Oh God. Well, now,
Tim
and
Cahill
now he's
was some random ass guy that they bought for £1 million from Millwall.
And now he's the best striker on New York Red Bulls, so.
No, he's not as good as Henry.
He'll always be better in my heart. You know where I think Moyes is going to end up? I think he's going to end up at one of the former top-tier French clubs. If they're crazy enough to hire Bielsa.
Oh, God.
Why won't he end up at Lille or, like, Lyon?
So next year Marseille is going to finish second or third, and everyone's going to go, oh, my God, Bielsa's a genius. And then in his second year, they're going to get, like, almost relegated.
I mean, when during a training session, one of the players is, like, eating another player's arm for, like, sustenance because Bielsa hasn't fed them in 4 days. Or, you know, that he's made, like, one of his players shoot his mother in the back of the head in front of the rest of the squad to show he's
committed. The crazy Bielsa shit always works when you have this, like, lazy piece of shit awful team, and then he comes in, whips him into shape, and it works the first year, and then just everything just goes downhill.
You know what? That's why it's perfect for a World Cup squad or a national team, because they deal with this crazy shit in short bursts before it can get totally nuts, and he's got them all, like, drinking blood from someone's skull. And it gets totally nuts. I mean, like it did with – I mean, how did Bilbao almost get relegated last year? Like, they're probably the fourth best team in Spain right now.
Yeah, they're fourth right now, and they deserve to be fourth because they've got a great squad. Like, how do you screw up that squad?
You don't give them water for, like, a week.
Like, he fucking ruined Llorente. He wouldn't play him because he wouldn't sign a new contract. So he just benched him.
Got to do what you got to do.
And now he's starting and playing well for Juventus.
It's all in the game, son.
So I brought this up last week, and I don't want to beat it to death, but doesn't Pochettino's Bielsa legacy encourage you, knowing that he could potentially bring Bielsa's managerial ability without Bielsa's mental baggage?
Okay, but if we're going to do that, let's just fucking go all out and hire Sampaoli from Chile.
Well, it's which is more likely, that or Spalletti?
Fuck Spalletti.
I like Spalletti.
But he has pictures of himself in his office. That means he'll be just as good as Brendan Rodgers.
I actually, you know, so Spalletti is not one of those guys where you have the concern, like, oh, he's only got one trick. But I'm not sure his best trick is anything special. No, so.
I worry he would play, like, three center backs and, like, Kyle Walker as a striker against, like, City.
And it would work. That would be the beauty of it.
No, it would work once, so we keep doing it, and then we're almost relegated or something like that. I can't – going back to Pochettino, I can't get past – the Bielsa thing does appeal to me on a certain level, but I can't get past his record at Espanyol, which I know they were a shitty team, but, God, he was really –
Espanyol were getting relegated before he showed up.
They were so broke, dude.
But it's still so unimpressive. I mean, I know there's extenuating circumstances.
No, they were, like, beyond broke.
Ugh.
Like, I don't know how they didn't get relegated.
He worked a miracle there for three seasons.
Seriously, keeping that team up, like, and I think he finished top half once or twice with just, like, this
broke ass. Yeah, he had, like, 10th and 11th finishes.
Yeah, with these, like, broke-ass team. Really was not bad.
Did he have, Osvaldo there?
At least one season, if not two.
Before he started punching dudes in the face.
Before he had to sell because he didn't have any money.
Yeah, well, I'm always impressed by Osvaldo's willingness to go back to soccer after starring in Pirates of the Caribbean, but it's very... Anyway, sorry, I just wanted to make that joke.
I thought he was hipster Khal Drogo.
Well, he's that, too. He's many things to many people.
He has quite a career.
Valor Magorlis, all men must be fired. So, are there any other serious managerial? We talked about Moyes. We talked about Pochettino. We talked about.
I want to mention one that's really weird.
Yeah, of course you do. Rafa Benitez.
Hey, no. I already brought up Jorge Sampaoli, so you're not going to get weirder than that.
Well, it is weird because it seems to make so little sense, especially in light of today.
Is it Clive Allen?
No, Clive Allen came out and was like, "I think Carlo Ancelotti's going to Spurs."
Well, Carlo Ancelotti just beat the shit out of Bayern Munich. I don't think he's going to get fired.
Even if he had lost to Bayern in this tie, the certainty with which Clive Allen was like, if I was a betting man, Carlo Ancelotti's my guy.
Clive Allen needs to stop owing debts to Anders Townsend or something. I mean,
if they lost to Bayern and then finished third in the league, I think it's possible that. Crazy ass Madrid could fire him, but not anymore. Yeah. Not after that. After laying a beating on Bayern, his job's safe.
I mean, not just Bayern, like Pep Bayern, like
yeah, and not just a win, just beat the shit out of him.
Well, he's got like I think in a year or two, this Madrid team, depending on how it gels, I mean, this could be like one of the best Madrid teams ever.
Yeah, I mean, they will be an all-conquering dynasty.
So they're going to be better in the final than they have been recently, because Alonso is suspended and Kadira is getting healthy, and that team's going to be better with Kadira.
Oh God, they're
spot.
In the final. I knew that, but I didn't.
And that team's going to be
on me until the second.
That team's going to be better with Kadira in that spot than they are with Alonso.
Is he going to be 100% enough to do that, or are they going to stick with Yara Mendy or Casemiro?
No,
Kadira's
already like in training right now. Like, he might play this weekend.
Well, when's the last time he's played a competitive match?
I mean, it's been a while, but he's been training for like a month.
Yeah,
like they wouldn't.
I mean, I love Kadira.
They wouldn't let him go out there until he trained for a long time.
I'm going to say something crazy right now. Spurs related, related to Madrid. I think it might have been a good thing that Bale left when he did.
Why?
Because as fun as it would have been to watch Bale there, another year of Bale, who I think probably would be, maybe not this good, but certainly I think he would have been better this year. I think it's clear last year wasn't a flash in the pan. That probably papers over AVB's cracks for another season.
Yeah.
And we're holding this bag a year later when we're in the Champions League and it's a total disaster. And we're not advancing and whatever. So maybe it was a good thing that he left. As fun as it would have been to watch him do this to Arsenal, I'm just convinced that AVB was never very good, and Bale papered over all his cracks.
Hey, he's undefeated with Zenit.
You know, you and I could win a few games.
He's set a record, 6 straight wins. I mean, he hasn't played, I think, but one team in the top half of the table, but it's a stat, so you have to trust it.
The bottom half of the Russian league really sucks.
We need to give credit, actually, to the English media and their dedication to trolling Spurs. Because at first they do all that ridiculous AVB media, and we just assume they hated foreigners. But clearly they hated Spurs, because now that AVB is doing well, they keep reporting that, oh, AVB is setting records in the Russian league. I mean, it's what I said last week. Spurs are big enough to get interest when they fuck with them, but they're not so big that they have to worry about pissing us off. So, fuck you, English.
So, the two guys that I absolutely do not want that would just fucking kill me, Moyes and Allegri. If either of those are the manager, I think I'm going to quit the site.
Unless like, our resident Milanista, Ed Francis, is, like, some seriously fucked up karma.
No, Ed,
we're
like,
not
Ed,
getting Allegri. I mean,
Ed might murder Daniel Levy.
He'll just get Enoch out tattooed on his knuckles. Hashtag Enoch out.
It's like Corey Graves.
Yes, he'll turn himself just this tattooed, like, English hooligan thug who will track down Daniel Levy.
Coming soon to NXT, Ed Francis.
It's all it took us 40 minutes to get to a wrestling reference, guys. I'm pretty
and an obscure one at that.
I'm pretty proud of that.
I didn't even know it was a wrestling reference, but now
go.
I'm angry.
Ben, who are your two absolute, like, do not wants?
I mean, David Moyes certainly do not want.
Kudos to those Spurs fans at
oh, they're singing? Excellent.
City, yes.
And Michael Laudrup is the other one that I fucking do not want at all.
He seems like he just does not care about anything.
He just wants to look handsome, and that's it.
What do you think the chances are that Michael Laudrup looks at himself in the mirror while he's having sex?
100%.
100,000%, I think.
Michael Laudrup has a... I don't think he has a mirror. I think he's got a poster of himself above his bed that he can look at.
Yeah. Where he puts like a mask of his face on whatever woman he's with that.
Yeah, or he makes them get tattooed on their back. His own face.
Holding up the League Cup, like... I think Moyes is my first one I really don't want, and Rafa Benitez, because that would vindicate you, Ben, and I don't want to see that happen.
Heaven forbid.
Heaven forbid. I would rather us get relegated than have you proven right. And all the lemmings on the site you've led to.
We look exactly... Rafa Benitez is like if AVB knew how to coach defense.
Or if AVB knew how to coach.
It's the same, like, awful, static, nothing attacking, except they actually are okay at defending.
He seems to be at his best. I never saw his Valencia teams when he's got some crazy, like, attacker. Like Higuain this year and Torres in his prime, who sort of just takes care.
Well, yeah, he's...
And Gerrard.
If we want to revive Soldado, like, that hiring Benitez will do it.
I just can't see. Sounds good to me. We've seen all the rumors that he'll leave Napoli. That just strikes me as English media speculation. I can't see why he'd leave Napoli for us.
No, I don't. I mean, I don't think he'd leave Napoli. I think it would have to be like a spat with De Laurinaitis, who's insane.
Which is not out of the realm of possibility, because both of them are insane.
Yeah, so De Laurinaitis once, my favorite thing that he's ever done is...
Oh, can I guess? Can I guess?
What?
Is it the Lionhead?
No. So, well, the Lionhead's great. I also like when he told... So that's number three. Number two is probably when he told Mark Hamsik that he shouldn't go to England because English women don't wash their genitals like Italian women do. But my favorite De Laurinaitis thing is when all the owners were at, like, a thing where they released the fixtures for the Serie A season, and he thought that the fixtures were, like, bullshit and... like fixed so that he would have a bunch of hard games in a row, and he was so mad that he stormed out of the meeting and like walks out the building. All the TV cameras are trying to TV cameras are on him. They're trying to interview him. He just fucking blows through him and sees like a delivery guy on a scooter, waves him down. It's like a pizza delivery guy on a fucking scooter. Just whips out a couple like hundreds, hands it to the kid, and jumps on the back of his scooter and drives away.
That's a pretty baller move.
This was on television. Like, I've seen the... You can see, you can find the video.
That's a pretty baller move.
He just waves down a pizza delivery man.
I love introducing a new player wearing a Lions mask, but that's hard to argue with. So unless we have any more managerial thoughts, which I'm sure we'll be returning to in a moment, do we want to move on to questions?
Yeah, let's go back it.
Real quick, I looked up the Paulinho-Sandro-Eriksson midfield.
Mm-hmm.
And it has never happened.
Wow.
We did have four
Fuck
games with
this team. Fuck this team. My God.
We had zero games. We didn't have a Capu, Paulinho, Eriksson. But we did have four games with Sandro, Paulinho, and Holtby.
Was this why we also played Sigurdsson on the wing?
One of them was.
Oh, fuck.
We beat
everything.
Villa away 2-0. Hull City at home 1-0, which was boring and horrible. 0-0 with Everton and our 0-6 home defeat to Man or away defeat to Man City.
How the fuck has this team gone zero games with either a Sandro Paulinho Eriksson midfield or Capu?
All right.
Paulinho Eriksson. That's insane.
I got a theory, Kevin.
We've
Bear
done Dembele Paulinho Eriksson a couple of times, but
that's no. Well, that's stupid.
No, that is.
Dembele Paulinho should never, ever, ever happen.
Bear with me, guys, but maybe, just maybe, it's because we haven't had a real fucking manager in a year and a half, 2 years,
or
now.
Depending on who you ask, 5 years.
5 years. Good point. Oh God, I should have drank.
40 years.
40. All right. Let's start out with questions. Speaking of managers, this makes for a nice transition. F22A4 Bandit. God, he needs a better name. Bandit. He asks. He asks, Michael Caley for manager of Tottenham Hotspur Football Club. I've seen how the Houston Astros are playing this year. I think Michael doesn't know how to put his arm around the shoulder and talk to them in a non-binary code. So I'm going to say no.
Have you guys seen Little Giants?
The annexation of Puerto Rico.
Yeah. Michael Caley is that guy. Michael Caley's not the manager. He's the guy who tells the manager what plays to call.
Oh, dear.
So we're running the annexation of Puerto Rico.
Yep.
Sweet. Essentially.
Although I heard that we're going to have to pay like $20 million if we want to sign Icebox.
What about David Sala? He's not doing anything, is he?
What would have happened if we had gotten to David Villa? Well, Kevin would be single for one thing.
Yeah.
Anything else, Ben?
Nope.
I mean, I imagine he would have scored more goals than Soldado.
Maybe. I don't think so. I think we would have fucked him up, too. I think because he's slow and old and sort of benefits.
Well, he's not slow. He's just not durable. Like, he can't play 90 minutes, you know, three games in a row.
Oh, good. Van der Vaart up top. That's what we need.
No, really. That is, David Villa is Van der Vaart up top.
Oh, my God.
For all the Van der Vaart files out there, by the way, Hamburg's about to get relegated.
<How's his> backhand.
You Yeah, Hamburg is about to get relegated. Way to go, Vanderbilt.
I thought he played for the shirt. What a guy. What a great guy.
So a little teaser here. Hamburg has brought in a spirit healer to try to help them fight off relegation. And either tomorrow or Thursday we'll have a feature on SBNation.com from Kirsten about the Hamburg spirit healer. Hopefully he can heal Vandervaart's spirit so he can stop beating his wife.
Well, and fucking her friends.
So am I wrong that Hamburg has never gone down?
I'm pretty sure they've never gone down. I mean,
I want to say Hamburg and Stuttgart are both the teams that are on the bubble there, and neither of them have ever gone down.
Those are some pretty big teams.
Yeah, like those are really big teams.
Yeah.
Man.
And one of them will be in Bundy 2.
Wish we kept Vandervaart now, you guys. Because all he's been doing for the last 2 years is getting fat and getting teams relegated. So,
Hamburg is the only original Bundesliga side to have played continuously in the top flight without ever having been relegated since the formation of the league in 1963.
Wow. Way to go, Vandervaart.
Hopefully that spirit healer's got it. Got their stuff together.
And they've had that distinction since 1998, by the way. The second to last one was Cologne, who went down in 98.
What I want to know is, who's their manager and how do we get him at Spurs?
Hamburg, you mean?
He's going to be quite a deal, and you know Levy can't pass that up.
It's Mirko Slomka, who's awful.
Yes,
like, I don't know how he keeps getting jobs.
But has he done well in the Austrian league? Because that is my standard for the next Tottenham manager.
No, he's not. He was an assistant for a long time until Schalke hired him, and he was crap there. And then he went to Hanover, and he was crap there. And now he's crap at Hamburg.
I feel like passing through Schalke is kind of like a kiss of death for players these days. I'm probably just basing that on our experiences with Schalke players. But
no, because Rakitic is playing his ass off in La Liga right now.
Oh, you're right.
Rafinha's doing okay for Bayern.
Kevin, don't ruin my jokes for me. God.
But hopefully that means Julian Draxler will be terrible if he ever goes to Arsenal.
Ozil also played for Schalke. I'm thinking that Draxler and Max Meyer are not going to suffer the same fate as Lewis Holtby.
Well, it would be nice if they did.
Holtby will be our best player next season. So.
Okay, well, I didn't realize we're going to be in relegation for him next year, but that's good to know. Wilman has a question related to this. You are only able to keep one of Lewis Holtby, Tom Carroll, or Alex Pritchard. Who do you keep and why? Obviously, the answer is Alex Pritchard because he's not terrible and blonde.
He is blonde.
I mean,
he is the blondest of all of them.
He could dye his hair. I don't give a shit. He is not blonde by virtue of not being awful like the other two.
Yeah, of those three, it's Tom Carroll, and that's not even.
Of course, it's Tom Carroll.
It's not even my life.
Even I won't dispute that.
Yeah, if you know how stupid that I'm not ripping on you, Willie, because I love you, but you know how stupid that question is. If even Greg's like, yeah, it's Tom Carroll.
No. There, he's doing that specifically so I will answer that question.
Probably, I think Willie was just trying to get you there.
Yeah, everyone likes my Tom Carroll.
Are we allowed to loan them out? For
no.
purposes of this question, or what
sure.
we have, like,
who
we have to
loan,
sacrifice
who would
them?
Who would you loan Lewis Holtby to?
I want to keep Lewis Holtby. I really do. I think Lewis Holtby is going to be good next season.
I want to loan Lewis Holtby with an option to buy to Zenit.
I'm going to loan Lewis Holtby to MLS.
That's probably going to happen, actually.
It's the new Simon Dawkins.
Lewis Holtby has become my new Tom Carroll. I'm just so sick of that guy.
I don't know why.
He's so overhyped among the fans. I'm sick of it. And every time he plays for us, I'm disappointed. He's the worst. If FDB becomes the new manager, this is from Cam Rogers 15, which Ajax players would you like him to Spurs?
Why do you have numbers in your name? Is there really another guy with the name Cam Rogers at SB Nation?
You never know.
I didn't even hear what your fucking question was because I was just, you said his name and I was just like, why? And then I just thought about that for 10 seconds. So please repeat. Yeah.
This is not AIM. You can get your first choice screen name, I promise.
DMB, so right. 69.
So what? So DMV.
That is an ex-girlfriend's AI name, and I should have run the second. Not the 69 part, but the rest of it.
Yeah, proudest monkey, 69.
Which player – are there any players on Ajax you would like DeBoer to bring to Spurs if he became manager?
Yeah, the only one is Victor Fischer, but I don't even think we – as much as I like Victor Fischer, like, you know, we already have Lamella who we're trying to revive next season, so I think that would probably be a huge waste of money.
And Andros Townsend, obviously.
Yeah, so, I mean, I guess Serrero's okay, but, I mean, if he was cheap, cool. Is he really the only guy?
Yeah, I think we already have players from Ajax under his tenure that I would want.
Maybe we can go get. Yeah, we already bought those guys.
Maybe we can go get Albert. What's his name?
Alderweireld.
Yeah, we go get him as a backup center back. I don't know, even though he's not playing that much this year.
Yeah, what if we sold Christian Eriksen to Real Madrid for £100 million? Would you take Davy Klaassen?
You're the worst.
I mean, Davy Klaassen's another guy where it's like, yeah, he's a decent prospect. I could see him potentially being good enough for Spurs, but not entirely thrilled with the idea.
Yeah, none of these guys seem to be quite ready for prime time yet.
No, the only one that I think is actually like definitely going to be a top player is Fischer.
Mm. What about their new center back?
Oh, what's that dude's name?
Feldman? Is that what I'm thinking of?
Yeah, but he's really not that young. He's really not that big either. He's just, I don't know, I think he's a pretty average player.
All right. Well, you heard it here. Nobody's good on Ajax, and that's how good Frank de Boer is.
Well, that's why Frank de Boer is leaving Ajax. And he still won a championship with him. God, I want de Boer here now. When this is from Bailout, which is still one of my favorite names on the site. When we get a new manager, whoever it may be, which players are they likely to ship out of Spurs? And then he goes on, who would be interested in buying them? How much could we get for them? Let's just – who do we think we're likely to lose over the summer?
Lewis Holtby.
You think we're just going to cut ties? As much as I would love to see this happen.
Yeah, like I think Lewis Holtby is just – no. There's no reason to keep him around. I'm hoping that somebody wants to offer us what we paid for Paulinho or more. Like, I think that he can be a reclamation project under a new manager. Like, you know, but if he has a good World Cup and somebody wants to pay us 17, 20 million for the guy, like, yeah, fuck off.
But if he has a good World Cup, I can't see us shipping him out, unfortunately.
That dude has, like, Italy written all over it.
Somebody please just give us what we paid for Paulinho. Like, I feel like he does enough running around that people are like, oh, hey, this guy does things, and let's pay money for him.
He crashes the box, he has a decent shot, he runs hard. Someone take him off our hands. I hear the word on the street is he's the Black Lampard, so.
I think it's possible that a new manager could say, to hell with Michael Dawson. And I know Michael Dawson's kind of an unfair scapegoat. He's not really as bad as he's looked and not the reason for all of our problems. But he's still been pretty crap this year.
Oh, I think you're wrong. I think Dawson will be here as a backup center back purely to sort of keep
just because he'll accept it?
No, well, because he'll accept it, but also because he's like – the fans like him. He's big in the club. He seems popular in the locker room. He'll be just sort of like, you know, he'll be a guy that he can keep – that'll keep him on side if he keeps him around.
A couple things to that. A, I don't know how much the fans like him these days. I mean, they seem to be on his back constantly.
You see this and team B, sell him, there'd be a lot of fondness for him.
But B, I mean, you look at, you know, the sort of club culture of Spurs and, you know, the real club leaders or the long-term servants who've been here are Dawson, Lennon, and Defoe. And Defoe's gone. It might not be the worst idea to ship out Dawson and Lennon, too, and have kind of a clean slate in that respect.
And if somebody wants to give us good money for Lennon, I have no attachment to Aaron Lennon at this point, and I'm not sure he really does anything for the club that other players can't do better.
We've got too many wing players now. We've got Lennon, Chadley, Lamella, Townsend.
That's the appropriate number of wing players. I mean, you should have two players for each position.
See, we've got like one of the wingers has to go, and then one of either Holtby or Sigurdsson has to go.
I'd rather keep Sigurdsson, to be honest with you, because at least he could put the ball in the net.
Yeah, and I think that Sigurdsson could possibly be reclaimed as that, like, passing, linking midfielder.
And you don't think Holpe's got that?
I mean, I think he does, but I think he's just, like, he plays very slow. And, like, always, it's like it doesn't matter what the team's trying to do, what the situation is. He's always, like, drop all the way back to find the ball, then play it very slow. And maybe a coach could fix him, but it seemed like he was just always doing that no matter his position, no matter the situation.
Well, I think Holtby's other big problem is his role on this team is not as good as Christian Eriksen.
Well, but just, I mean, I think
Eriksen's not going to play every game. You know,
no, and I think Holtby can be like the super sub, like you play starts in Europa League, or like if we're ahead by a goal and we just want to keep the ball, like we sub him in for a winger for Eriksen or something. But I feel like Sigurdsson might do that even a little bit better. Like, and there's certainly no need or room for both of them. Like, one of the two needs to be sold.
I think one of them's going to go just because I think they both want to be starters, and I just don't think that's happening at Spurs, especially with both of them around.
No, so definitely one of those two and one winger. My guess would probably be Lennon.
Mm-hmm. Especially after this season. But who knows, maybe it's the same thing as Dawson. The new manager's not going to want to rock the boat. Lennon's long tenured, the fans like him. He might keep him around just to keep things smooth, especially if Lennon's willing to accept a reduced role, which he might be.
Yeah.
I guess maybe we could always sell him to Leeds. I assume we can sell players to Leeds.
I guess people forget about him because he's just very much a Hull player at this point, but we'll be selling Jake Livermore for probably decent money.
I'm fine with that. Even though he's been decent DM, I just have visions of Rose in my head.
I mean, I could see if for some reason we don't like Kapu, we think he's got a crappy attitude, somebody wants to give us money for him, us shipping him off and keeping Livermore.
Do we think Chadley sticks around?
Yeah, I think he does. Especially if DeBoer comes in, I think he's going to have more use for Chadley than previous managers did.
Well,
I think
he's got
expressed his admiration for Chadley previously, so that speaks.
No, I think that if we hire DeBoer, that Chadley is very likely the starting left winger next season.
I think that makes a lot of sense. Maybe Townsend,
the starting defensive midfielder.
Oh god, or left back.
Yeah,
no, I keep
back.
Townsend. Townsend's young enough and talented enough that I think someone can still make something of him.
I agree. And that's another reason to hire DeBoer, as far as I'm concerned. Final question from Bailout again. Follow his example, guys. He asks good questions. If you were hiring a new manager, what would you say to attract them to Tottenham? Ben.
I mean, I think what we are kind of speaks for itself. We're a team with the resources to make a run at the top four, but we're not there yet. And so any success we get will reflect very well on whoever manages us there. Whereas if you do well with a Chelsea or a Man U, that's kind of expected. And we have the resources that we'll put behind you, and we have the playing squad that can make you look good, and all you need to do is do your job, and you could get, you know, a lot of mileage out of this Tottenham team and your career here.
Yeah, we have these guys who could be, you know, truly world-class soon, but are not right now, like Eriksen and like Lamella, and, you know, looks like a lot of the youngsters, guys like Carroll, Kane, Benteleb, or pretty damn good players. And then you have guys like Lloris, Vertonghen, Sandro, who are pretty well established as like real solid Champions League level guys that everyone agrees are, you know, if they moved on from Tottenham, they would move on to a real solid Champions League team. So you've got a core here. You've got stuff to work with. We just need someone to put it all together.
See, what I would do is I would take him out to a nice restaurant, white tablecloth, candles, red wine, buy him a nice steak, tell him about Tottenham a little bit, take him back to a hotel, leave him alone in a room with Tom Carroll, let him get his mind blown, and then I'd ask him what he thought about coming to Tottenham Hotspur. That's what I would do. That's how I would attract a manager to Spurs.
I'm looking forward to the evolution of Tom Carroll as the English Xavi under Frank DeBoer.
I would actually be very happy if that happened, if only because my protestations of how terrible he is would become more hilarious.
You'd have to keep up the shtick, right?
Oh, like, I would absolutely.
Even if Carroll was like starting for England and was like clearly the best midfielder in the league.
If he's starting for England, he can still be shit, Kevin.
This is true. England starts Scott Parker.
I do have one last question. I lied. There is one final question that we neglected, and I apologize for that. It is from Benoit's Smart Car. What can be done to improve De Boer's hair's chances of joining the Tottenham Hair Club for Men? I think this is very important because his hair is not quite there yet. It's that sort of like ugly Ericsson hair.
I think he's just got to shave his head.
No.
He's just going to go bald.
He's got to go full Zidane.
Yeah.
Act like you own it. You know, if you try and keep pretending you have hair when you're clearly balding, you just look like a bald guy. But if you shave your head like a badass, you just own that shit.
Okay, I'm going to disagree with you guys. I think what he needs to do is bring something new to this club. And Sandro could have his head shaved any day of the week. Who knows? What I think he needs to do is he needs to get a Raul Morales-style fading mohawk. He's already starting to lose his hair, so he could pull this off. So it'll be this, like, fading mohawk going down the back. It'll be distinctive. It'll strike fear and confusion into other teams. I think it adds another dimension, as AVB would say, to the Tottenham Hair Club for Men. I think you can really pull it off.
Because what I want is a manager who looks like he's from Williamsburg.
Well, that'd be even better. He could grow, like, a handlebar mustache, maybe, like...
Wear flannel shirts.
He could have a flavor saver. He could have, like, a pointed goatee. It'd be great. We've had Gillette's on the sideline. Who's going to care if they're wearing, like, a flannel shirt over their, like, Operation Misfit t-shirt?
with skinny jeans.
Yeah, exactly.
Fucking rides a fixie back and forth along the sideline. It'd be great.
Well, I can't think of a better way to end
it. We really would be the hipster club then. That'd be perfect.
It'd be great. Think of what it would do for Tottenham's image in America. Think
of hashtag that. Brands.
Hashtag crushing it. On that note, I think that's the end of this edition of Wheeler Dealer Radio. Say goodbye, guys. Ben.
See you, everybody.
Kevin.
Nice to be back in the podcast.
Good to have you. And for everyone, I am Skipjack. Come on, you Spurs.